the future of CBD. CBD is the common nickname for cannabidiol, one of the active ingredients in marijuana that does not cause a high. It is commonly harvested from the hemp plant, a cousin of marijuana, and is added to food, tinctures, and lotion to treat a variety of health issues. Many of those who use CBD says it has helped them dramatically reduce pain, anxiety, skin issues, and more. But CBD is unregulated, and many in the medical field point to the need for more research on its benefits and harms. Recently, CBD as a food additive was ordered off of store shelves in Maine, and the legislature is facing an emergency bill to allow it to be sold. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on Maine Calling, we will learn more about this increasingly popular additive. Do you have experience with CBD? Maine Calling is next, but first, this news. From the Maine Public Radio Studios, I'm Jennifer Rooks, and this is Maine Calling. You may have noticed that CBD, or cannabidiol, is showing up in food, drinks, and even pet treats, and that people sing its praises as a way to improve health and well-being. Today, we'll learn more about CBD and what's happening with Maine's decision to pull it from retail shelves. Joining me in the studio, Hillary Lister. She's a medical marijuana advocate and consultant, and Pat Philbrook, a certified nurse practitioner with Celtic Trinity Healthcare. As always, we want to hear from you. Are you wondering what all the fuss is over CBD? Are you involved with Maine's burgeoning hemp growing industry? Our phone number, 1-800-399-3566. You can send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to the Maine Calling Facebook page. Thank you both for being here today. Hillary, I'll have you start. Walk us through what CBD is, how it differs from cannabis and medical marijuana.
Sure. So thank you for having me on. CBD is cannabidiol. It's one of over 100 cannabinoids that are found in the cannabis plant. There's a lot of confusion right now of difference between cannabis, medical marijuana, industrial hemp. Most of these are really legal definitions. They all come from the cannabis plant. However, medical marijuana has been defined as any product from the cannabis plant that is over 0.3% THC, and THC is another cannabinoid in cannabis. Industrial hemp is defined as cannabis that has a THC content of below 0.3% THC. So it's really a legal distinction right there. CBD has been studied since the 1940s. However, it's really only gotten a lot of attention in the past 5 years or so following the passage of the 2014 U.S. Farm Bill that made it legal for states to license and regulate production of industrial hemp. In Maine, in 2015, I actually worked with Rebecca Lane, who was a hemp and CBD advocate from up in Lincoln area, and she worked with her state representative to get legislation passed to allow licensing of hemp here in Maine. 2016 was the first year that hemp cultivation started to be licensed in Maine. 2017, we really saw a lot of people who were licensed to grow hemp producing products primarily for their CBD content. And since industrial hemp is defined differently than medical marijuana, there's been a general idea that this can be made available to the general public. Under the 2014 Farm Bill, it did define industrial hemp as a different substance than cannabis, something that's a Schedule I substance. So you started to have more CBD products and hemp products on the market. With the passage of the new Farm Bill in 2018, that's gotten a little complicated. While it does allow licensing of industrial hemp and expanded sales of it, it also specifies that the FDA has clear regulatory authority over the use of hemp and CBD in food products and in medicines. So that's where we're looking at a lot of changes right now.
All right. Well, I'm going to bring you into the conversation, Pat. What do you do for patients in relation to CBD? What kind of patients of yours use CBD effectively?
Patients of all ages and with all conditions. A lot of people come for CBD because they don't want the psychoactive effects of THC. So we talk about CBD, which is something you did not need a medical license for. You could buy it and try it on your own. This is a great way to start because we have an endocannabinoid system in our body, and this is a good way to wake it up because we haven't been using cannabis like other countries have. So they come to me because they can't sleep, they have anxiety, they have chronic pain, or they have a medical condition like cancer, multiple sclerosis, Lou Gehrig's disease. I start them on the CBD, but eventually they do get on cannabis because with the 100-plus cannabinoids in the cannabis plant, all of those enhance the effectiveness of CBD.
Okay. We're going to go now to Ben Rooney, who is the owner of Wild Folk Farm and a hemp farmer. Thanks for calling in, Ben.
Yeah, hi. Nice to be here.
Tell me about Wild Folk Farm. How long have you been growing hemp?
We got our license 2 years ago, and so we've had two crops of hemp. The farm is located in Benton, Maine. And in the past, yeah, I kind of came into this as a veggie farmer and then started growing some rice on the farm and saw hemp as another opportunity and something else to kind of bring into the state.
Is most of your hemp harvested for CBD or for that and other purposes?
Most of it's harvested for CBD.
And
that would be great. It would be great if there was processing for industrial hemp, but that's just kind of hard to come by at this point right now.
All right. So, and how does that work? Do you make the CBD yourself? Do you harvest the hemp and then give it to somebody else that processes it?
It's a little of both. So we send some of our plant material down to a lab, the main lab down in Portland, and they make an oil for us, a full spectrum oil. And then we formulate that with some MCT oil to make one of our tinctures. And then two of our other products, one of our salves, a lotion, and an alcohol tincture, we just make in-house.
How can you, Hillary was talking about last year's farm bill. How did that affect what you do?
You mean the one that came out in this past winter?
Yes.
It didn't really change anything for us. We're right now following the state regulations, and it was legal to get a license to grow hemp, you know, 2 or 3 years ago. So we've just been following that. We haven't really changed anything up with the farm bills. There seems to be all sorts of contrary things said by the FDA or the USDA or just these different organizations. And so right now we're just going with what, just that in growing industrial hemp is legal in the state.
Okay. And how is Maine's climate and environment for growing hemp?
I think it's great. These plants respond really well to the cool weather in the fall. That little bit of stress actually helps them produce more secondary metabolites, which is what really leads to the medicine of the plants. So I think hemp coming from Maine, getting some stress, our plants are out there into September through hard frost. They'll get snow on them. And the plants just look more vibrant, and the flower just smells and looks better, the next day.
All right. Well, Ben, I want you to hold on the line just a little bit. And I want Hillary, can you explain to us what has happened in Maine in the last couple months? Who has ordered that? I understand CBD products that are in foods have been pulled from shelves. Who ordered that and why?
So it's sort of been a two-step process. Unlike other states like New York and Ohio, the state hasn't been going in and pulling products from shelves, but they've been sending letters to various health food stores, pet food stores, any places that they know are selling products that could be consumed by a human or animal that contain CBD. And that came about actually before the new farm bill was passed. This summer, you may remember a news story of a business near Bar Harbor that was getting, it was basically smoking up lobster with cannabis prior to boiling the lobster. That got a lot of national attention. It also got state attention, and the Department of Health and Human Services and Department of Agriculture were consulted on whether by doing this, they were effectively adulterating food with a non-approved food product. From what I understand, at the Maine Agricultural Trade Show, they discussed this, and they said that the Assistant Attorney General at the time ended up giving a ruling that adding any form of cannabis to a product that's going to be consumed by a human or animal is adding something that is not generally recognized as safe to the product. And also, Maine's medical marijuana law makes an exception. It does say that adding cannabis items to food, if it's by a registered dispensary or caregiver for use by a medical marijuana patient, is not considered adulterating food. So by default, they are basically saying in that it's only not adulterating food if it's for use as medical marijuana. If you're adding CBD to food products, then it's not something that's considered safe for the general public. And Representative Craig Hickman has introduced a bill to address that and say that a product from hemp that contains CBD is not adulterating food.
Sure, and we're going to hopefully hear from Representative Hickman later in the show. But Pat, the bottom line, for your patients, this doesn't make a difference. This makes a difference for people who maybe want to walk into a coffee shop and have coffee with CBD in it, or a bakery or a health food store, right?
Yes, for my patients in particular. But however, when you have something that's been studied as much as CBD has, medically speaking, and you've seen the positive results, why would you prohibit this from anybody using it?
Trying to be clear that right now, what we're going through right now is not affecting your patients. It's not affecting people who are coming to a licensed practitioner. It's people who want to walk into a health food store and buy something without a practitioner.
Yes,
that's where we are right now, right?
Yeah, that's true.
Right. Okay, great. And I want to ask you, Ben, how this is affecting your business.
You want to continue or should I just jump in?
Yeah, go ahead.
So we're in a few dozen locations across the state, and I think roughly half of our places, maybe two-thirds of them, are still carrying all the products that they have been carrying. Just largely, I think, due to the fact that they're having people come in every day that are using these things and getting really good results from them. And so they want to be able to provide that service. And because of the emergency bill put forth by Craig Hickman, it does seem like this is going to be cleared up soon. So it slowed things down for us a bit. But overall, we're still getting a lot of interest from people. And I think a lot will be learned tomorrow and in the next few days.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Ben. That's Ben Rooney. He owns Wild Folk Farm and grows hemp. Thanks for calling in. We have an email from Jonas who says, I'm a restaurant owner and have been contemplating adding specialty CBD drinks and foods to our repertoire at my restaurant. With the recent changes, is that now illegal? This is what we're talking about, isn't it, Hillary?
That's definitely what we're talking about. It's pretty unclear on the state level. However, it does appear that the state has a legal case to say that you are adulterating food if you are adding them to food or drinks at this time. The farm bill says that you are adulterating food if you are including CBD products in products that are going to be sent across state lines. So that's where sort of further backing has come to this ruling that it's not safe until there's some sort of FDA determination that this is a safe food additive.
So would your recommendation to a restaurant owner, a chef, be wait?
I would be wait and see. There's going to be a public hearing on a bill that could change this. It won't change it immediately, but I think there is a good chance that this could change in the next maybe 5 months or so.
All right. Well, on the line with us now, Dr. Jonathan Fellers. He's Medical Director of Integrated Medication-Assisted Treatment at Maine Medical Center. Thanks for calling in, Dr. Fellers.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
The reason CBD is everywhere now is that it's purported to help people alleviate anxiety and insomnia and boost their health. What do you think of the claims that are being made?
Well, there's a lot of reports of it being beneficial, but they haven't really passed the rigor of scientific studies. For example, randomized, double-blind, placebo-controlled studies, that would be our gold standard for evaluating whether something is beneficial for like the FDA purposes. But one of the challenges has been that CBD has been really a controlled substance at the federal level, and more recently is a little more open for study because of the state-controlled nature of it. I would say the evidence isn't really strong yet that it's good for a lot of the issues that we're talking about. It is strong, actually, for epilepsy, and there was a recently approved medication that is basically CBD in purified form for two really rare forms of childhood epilepsy. And so I think there will be an expansion of the investigation of CBD as a potential therapeutic agent. But for other reasons, you know, other symptoms, it's not really that clear yet.
Right. It seems as though there's been a bit of a catch-22 that a lot of people believe it could be beneficial, but they haven't been allowed to do the research that would determine that to the standard that you're talking about.
Yes, that's right. So, and I think treating it as like a nutritional supplement or something like that, it's not treating it like a drug, which requires that high level of evidence to show that it's effective. But, you know, quite clearly, you know, since the point when CNN kind of talked about Charlotte's Web, the childhood epilepsy, and how CBD heavy strains of cannabis were beneficial for that, there has been a movement in the pharmaceutical industry to start investigating this sort of thing. And so I think there, you know, now we're at a good time when we can actually take a look and see if it is helpful.
What do you think of Maine's new ban on selling food products with CBD?
Well, I think, you know, until we really investigate it, we don't really know whether it is helpful or what the harms are yet either. I will just say that CBD, you know, the FDA-approved version of it, they still schedule it as a Schedule 5 substance, which has less risk for misuse, but they still do schedule it. And technically, CBD is still considered Schedule 1 at the federal level, which means there's no approved use. So I think it's difficult to say for a medical provider like myself to say, like, yes, you should do this or no, you shouldn't, because we just don't have enough information because we haven't been able to study it yet. And we've learned time and time again that just by adopting something and calling it a medicine, you know, you can see really bad effects many years on. An example would be like thalidomide. It was a medication that we had given for vomiting during pregnancy and led to some really horrific outcomes. I'm not saying that CBD is similar to that, but like using something, broadly using it without really investigating if there are harms, I think is a dangerous proposition.
Dr. Fellers, I'm going to ask you to hold on for just a moment, if you don't mind. And I want to turn back to our guest, Pat Fulbrook, who's a certified nurse practitioner and does have patients who use CBD. Pat, are you frustrated when you hear doctors say that this hasn't been studied enough?
Yes. As a matter of fact, it has been the most studied herb or medication in the world. There's been over 20,000 studies. The studies done in the United States, in order to get the grant money, you had to show it was harmful. And every time that the study was done and showed it wasn't harmful or it wasn't addictive, the money got pulled. So our NIH money, National Institute of Health, sent money, our tax dollars, to other countries to study it. And they have found that CBD, it has anti-tumoral effects. It prevents tumors from forming, benign or cancer. And if it's a cancer tumor, prevents the cell from leaving the tumor, so prevents the spread of cancer. CBD with THC, okay, that's the medicine together, has cured 2 brain cancers and 1 breast cancer under medical supervision, and those studies were done in Spain. CBD is an analgesic, so when you use the whole plant, you take some of the cannabinoids like THC that will relax us and decrease our pain, but you need CBD to take away the pain. CBD, as you said, is an anticonvulsant, also good for muscle spasms and tremors, helps keep our blood sugars level, so it helps prevent diabetes, helps prevent cardiac arrhythmias. CBD is an antipsychotic. It's the only reason why we're allowed to give it for PTSD, but it helps with anxiety, depression, OCD, ADD. CBD is an antibacterial. So it goes on and on. These studies have been done. It's a neuroprotectant, neurogenic, and even for brain trauma. That's why the NFL wants it on the playing field.
Before we let Dr. Fellers go, I want to ask you, I'm sure, Dr. Fellers, this is not the first time you've heard others talk about CBD in the way that Pat is. What is your response to that?
Well, I would just say that, it would be great if we could do some randomized controlled trials with patients. I'm not doubting that there is a lot of evidence in the form of case reports, but that doesn't really rise to the to the level of gold standard evidence that we need when we're talking about medications. You know, listening to her talk, it does sound like it's good for absolutely everything. But I think until we can actually prove it with studies, I guess I'm a skeptic.
All right. Well, thank you so much for calling in. That was Dr. Jonathan Fellers, who's Medical Director of Integrated Medication Assistant Treatment at Maine Medical Center. We do need to take a quick break. When we come back, more of your comments and questions. This is Maine Calling. We'll be right back.
You make Maine Calling possible, as does Mechanical Services, supporting Maine grocers and retailers with energy-efficient HVAC, refrigeration, systems, and service.
Rates of stress and anxiety are up among teenage girls, way up.
We actually run the risk of raising a generation that becomes stressed about being stressed and anxious about being anxious.
I'm Mary Louise Kelly, helping girls navigate adolescence by giving them a toolkit to handle everything from friends to school. This afternoon on All Things Considered from NPR News.
All Things Considered from 4 to 6:30 each weekday evening here on Maine Public Radio. Did you know that if you don't have cable, it's still possible to see Maine Public Television, all four channels, The World, Create, and Kids as well? In many areas of Maine, you can watch all four of our television signals with an HDTV antenna. Will that work in your neighborhood? We've created a resource to help you answer that question. Go to mainepublic.org for more information, click on Television and Guide for Watching Over the Air, or you can give us a call at 1-800-884-1717. Again, 1-800-884-1717, and we'll send the information right away. With or without cable, Maine Public Television brings you four channels of the highest quality programming, an educational resource not to be missed.
Welcome back. This is Maine Calling. I'm Jennifer Rooks. Today on the program, we are talking about cannabidiol, also known as CBD. Joining me in the studio, Pat Philbrook, who's a nurse practitioner with Celtic Trinity Healthcare, and Hillary Lister, a medical marijuana advocate and consultant. We invite you to join the conversation at 1-800-399-3566. Send a brief email to talk@mainepublic.org, tweet at Maine Calling, or post to our Facebook page. Joining us on the line now, State Representative Craig Hickman. He represents District 81, Winthrop. He is an organic farmer and small business owner. You heard us talking about Representative Hickman's bill a little bit earlier in the program. Representative Hickman, tell us about the bill you introduced. It's an emergency measure, correct?
Yes, that is correct, which means it will need 2/3 of both chambers to send it to the governor's desk for signature.
Why do you feel it is important to allow the sales of CBD as an additive to food to continue?
Well, I think we have heard the phrase, let food be thy medicine and medicine be thy food. And as an organic farmer, I understand nutrient-dense food has lots of medicinal qualities, and hemp is food. And so what my bill does is it in some ways mimics the part of statute that allows for marijuana and edibles to be not adulterating food for the medical program. I'm pretty much repeating that in a different section, which just says that hemp in food will not adulterate it for human consumption or animal consumption either. So I'm just following that part of the law, putting it in the state food law so that hemp in food can be regulated like food itself. So it's not just an additive, it's also a food product itself. And I believe that's important because when word got out that the letters were going out and people were asked to remove food from their shelves, people called me in a panic. And when farmers and business owners and consumers are not able to sell or have access to the food that they want for their own health and well-being, it sends anxiety and confusion, and it does some harm. When you listen to people talk about perhaps taking their own lives because they don't know what they will do if they cannot grow hemp or if they do not have market for it or if they have to lay people off. As a small business owner and as a farmer, I understand that our margins are small to begin with. And if we don't have a place for our product and if retailers cannot sell their food, we are affecting the economy and we are affecting people's lives.
Representative Hickman, the ban was put in place due to the fact that the FDA has not recognized CBD as a safe food additive, and other states are also instituting bans. Do you think that some caution is merited, given that CBD has not been studied as extensively as the FDA would like it to be?
I believe people have a right to eat the food that they want, no matter what the FDA says. I believe that if people believe something is safe for themselves, then they should have access to it. The proof is in the pudding for most people. If something relieves pain, it relieves pain. If you don't know why it relieves pain, you don't know why. If you do, you do. But you take it because it works. In my case, I never ingested CBD until after my fire. The opioids, fentanyl, didn't actually remove my pain at that time. CBD did. I don't know why. I wasn't afraid of it. And so I think that just because the FDA has an opinion about something, which I actually disagree with, it doesn't mean that they are the only ones who should be deciding what's safe for me to eat.
And Representative Hickman, you're talking about your fire, and you were badly burned. It was a year ago, correct?
It was 6 months ago.
6 months. Oh, gosh, that short time ago. And you have found CBD to be helpful for you.
It got me through the pain.
Oh. Well,
and I needed to get through the pain, otherwise I could not have healed because I couldn't sleep because I was in so much pain. And so it was the only thing that got me through the pain and helped me sleep so I could heal. And so for me, I feel like it saved my life, or it helped me heal faster than I probably would have otherwise. Oxycodone didn't work for me. The fentanyl that they were pumping into my veins immediately after the burn didn't take my pain away. And once I was introduced to CBD through people who cared, it worked. And so I don't know what the studies say. I just know how it made me feel. And I think that a lot of people who are demanding this in the marketplace knows that it's doing something for them that makes them feel better, or they're getting a relief that they're not getting in any other way. And because most foods that are whole and nutrient dense have medicinal properties, I see this as should be legal, and my law would make it so.
And Representative Hickman, before we let you go, is there a public hearing scheduled yet?
It's tomorrow at 1 o'clock p.m. in the Cross Building, room 214.
Thank you. That's Representative Craig Hickman. He represents District 81 in Maine's House of Representatives. We're going to move to Eric, who's calling from Livermore Falls. Hi, Eric. Go ahead. You're on Maine Calling.
Good. Let me give you my proper title. I'm Dr. Mitchell, Eric I. Mitchell, out of the University of Pennsylvania. And I'm the medical director of Hemp Commodities Industries. And I ordered to insert into a farmer this summer. Farm 25 acres of industrial hemp. And the Farm Bill of 2018 does not really want you to use the word industrial anymore. They want you to use the words hemp with less than 0.3 THC and hemp with more than 0.3 THC. Because when you even call it the word cannabis, you get very confused about which one you're talking about. I like to break the tie that you had between Nurse Philbrook and Dr. Fowler, because here's the problem. Dr. Fowler is a traditional medical, probably allopathic physician, that where 87% of medical schools have never even mentioned the word endocannabinoid system. Now, that's a sad commentary. Only 13% of medical schools, allopathic in this country, even have the word mentioned. Okay, the endocannabinoid system is the balancing system that where the CBD works. And it's pretty amazing. Let me repeat, 87% of medical schools and physicians have never been taught. And because of the federal ban that President Nixon put on cannabis in 1970 under the Controlled Substance Act, it made the apple tree illegal. This botanical called Cannabis Sativa L has a number of different phenotypes and genotypes. Okay, hops is of the same species as cannabis. Interesting, okay? But Cannabis Sativa L has, as one cousin, is one less than 0.3 THC. That's called hemp, and oftentimes called industrial hemp. And the second one is called hemp with greater than 0.3 THC. And most of the time, they call that marijuana. We've got to go back and understand that there's been this botanical, age-old botanical, more than 10,000 years old, has been ostracized, vilified, and then finally criminalized over the course of the last 82 years. In 1937, they made a movie because they didn't have Facebook. Okay, and it was called Reefer Madness.
Yep, we've seen it. Dr. Mitchell, thank you so much for calling in. We have so many calls and emails, so I want to try to get to a few more. So I'm going to move on. We're going to go to Jeffrey calling from Kennebunkport. Hi, Jeffrey. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for having me on. So I'm also a physician and a career research neurobiologist, and I have a number of my colleagues are basically the most world-renowned endocannabinoid researchers. And so it overlaps with my pain field. I would never say there was no clinical effect to a person. If they have a clinical effect, they have a clinical effect. But what I also tell people is that the clinical effect might be not due to what they think it's due to. And our brain does wonderful things. Currently, when we look at the effects that CBD is being touted to have, they range from pain, anti-metastases, anti-anxiety, anti-psychotic, preventing brain damage was just mentioned. These have such diverse mechanisms of action that it is highly unlikely, if one follows common hypothesis forming, that it will actually come out to have a real effect. And there's very, very little evidence. Even for pain, there's very little evidence for any cannabinoid to have effect on clinical pain. So currently, in my main problem, I wanted to dial this back a little bit and say that we've had every decade or so we get a new, and I'll throw quotes around the word, snake oil. I'm sure that CBDs will, and the terpenes likely, with the millions and millions of dollars that we're putting into research currently, and all the opportunities for neuroscientists and pharmacologists right now, there will distill out some clinical effects, but we need to have quite a bit of caution right now.
Thank you for calling. And Pat, how about that? I mean, the list is kind of long and unbelievable that one product can do all of these things, from prevent cancer to the entire list that you read a few minutes ago. It does seem hard to believe.
Well, I think you need to look at cannabis puts our body into homeostasis so the body can heal itself. Unlike Western medicine, we wait until you have the pain and then we give you the pain pill. I think a lot of the problems that we're having is that we've gone into such an avenue of cure that we don't do any prevention like the rest of the world does. And I think that's where we're missing it, and why it's harder for some people to understand what this plant can actually do for us. It doesn't do harm if it's helping our body to balance itself. And once our body is balanced, our emotions, spiritual, physical, we all feel better. And then we are more motivated to help do more, to help ourselves get healthier. So it's not unusual, if you read the studies, if you've seen the different results that I have seen personally, as well as any conference you go to, it's amazing what this plant, because our body was made for it. We do have an endocannabinoid system. Cannabis only attaches itself to CB1 and CB2 cell receptors. Nothing else uses those, so you don't see the interaction with other medications like we do with our pharmaceuticals.
So I'm going to stop you right there. Somebody on Facebook, Sam on Facebook, says recent studies have shown CBD has detrimental interactions with many other drugs. Until it is studied more, it should be pulled. There is a process for drug trialing for a reason. So you say that's not true, that it does not have interactions with other drugs?
And no, because that's been proven? Using CBD1 and CBD2 cell receptors. The other drugs do not use those cell receptors, so there isn't any interaction. One of the top 10 killers in the United States is interacting with drugs. It has never been done with cannabis because they use different cell receptors.
All right. We have Simon on Facebook says, studies say alcohol and tobacco are extremely dangerous, yet they're shoved in my family's face every time I walk into a store. Why can I hurt myself so easily but not heal myself in the ways I see fit? I use CBD every day and would not function as a working member of society without it. An email from Jared. I have two elderly parents who have been using CBD oil and lotion for the past 3 months, and we've seen remarkable results. I know medical professionals who also use and swear by it. The problem is getting quality tested products, and with the actions of the state of Maine, I see the killing of several Maine businesses and the mark of quality. Is that a concern of yours, Hillary?
I would definitely say where I've heard real concerns and issues with CBD products, I think has more to do with contaminants in the products than the actual cannabis itself. And also an increasing number of products are using CBD isolate, which is removed from the whole plant. And I think we have a lot of studies on how CBD as part of the whole plant works. Now with the FDA approval of Epidiolex, there's some way to look at how CBD isolated in that particular form works. But I think until we figure out how it interacts and what people are using to extract the CBD, for myself, I try to just use whole plant tinctures, salves, just because once you get further from the plant and using more compounds to extract it, I think there's a higher risk of potentially it not being a helpful product.
All right. We are going to take another quick break. You're listening to Maine Calling. We'll be right back.
You make Maine Calling possible, as do New England Cancer Specialists, 50 years of working toward better outcomes for Maine patients. Learn more at newenglandcancerspecialists.org. And Andrecki & King, representing clients in all areas of family law, civil litigation, and criminal defense in state and federal courts. AndreckiLaw.com.
On the next Fresh Air, we look at some forgotten episodes in the history of U.S. territorial expansion. Daniel Immerwahr, author of How to Hide an Empire, talks with Dave Davies about the complexities of the American experience ruling foreign lands. U.S. territories today include Puerto Rico, Guam, American Samoa, and the Northern Marianas. Join us.
Join us for Fresh Air this evening at 7 here on Maine Public Radio. And coming up in just a few minutes at 2 o'clock, World Affairs, a country on the brink, Venezuela, and a contested presidency. What will happen next? Venezuelan colonist Moises Naim discusses the future of his country. That's World Affairs coming up at 2 o'clock right here on Maine Public Radio.
And welcome back. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You're listening to Maine Calling. Today on the program, the latest on the use of cannabidiol, or CBD. Joining us, Hillary Lister, who is a medical marijuana consultant, and Pat Philbrook, a nurse practitioner. Join our conversation, 1-800-399-3566, 1-800-399-3566. An email from Cindy. I was fortunate enough to accidentally encounter a bottle of CBD capsules 2 days before they're pulled from the shelf. I have endured chronic pain since 2001, legally disabled due to pain in 2010, and have tried everything that anyone suggested to relieve the pain, from acupuncture to prescribed pain pills to prayer to physical therapy. I have earnestly tried about 25 methods and agents with little to no result. CBD gently lightens my mood, quickly pushes away the pain, and has changed my life completely. CBD has given me back my life. That I can no longer purchase CBD capsules locally is foolish, unwarranted, and inconsiderate of people like me and of every other person who can benefit from CBD. Would your advice to her be to find a practitioner?
Yes, I definitely would find a practitioner, or you could go to a caregiver who could sell this to you.
All right. Definitely continue. And Hillary, I want to ask you about something. She said, CBD gently lightens my mood. Is that different than a high that somebody would get from using marijuana with THC?
It's definitely a different effect. I think it's probably more just it suppresses anxiety to a degree, though it does affect everyone differently. In a lot of cases where people are finding best effects, it's a combination of CBD with THC. I know there's been some people have tried CBD-only products and not necessarily had the same results. But again, it's like any medicinal herb. It varies from person to person.
Catherine on Facebook says, OxyContin has passed the rigors of FDA studies and has caused terrible hardship for people. That's one of your points, isn't it, Pat?
Yes, it is. Also, the cigarettes. I mean, each cigarette has 4,000 chemicals, 1,000 do cause cancer. And here we're talking about CBD that has not killed anyone or harmed anybody. And it's been effective. And it's easy to, you know, people can grow it themselves. You're not forced to have insurance or anything else like that.
We'll move to Christopher, who's calling from Portland. Hi, Christopher. Go ahead.
Hi. I would like to ask the question to the two gentlemen who called in who were doctors to find out, particularly the first one, if how much his department and he makes from the pharmaceutical industry to make the statements he did. And then also just to mention that there are cancer hospitals in this country that prescribe CBD in their integrative departments. And there, obviously, if there's bodies of evidence and research around the world that are done, that shouldn't be discounted so quickly, especially from researchers or doctors in this country who are pushing stuff like OxyContin. Thanks.
Okay, Christopher, thank you. I can't ask the people who aren't on the phone anymore your question, but I appreciate your point. We have an email from Gary. The 2018 Farm Bill did not change anything for industrial hemp growers. The state program remains the same as it has from the beginning. CBD in foods or animal products or any CBD product like a lotion or salve that shows claims of managing a medical problem has never been legal. CBD is classified as an experimental drug and registered for use to manage certain types of severe epilepsy. State law only allows sale and use of CBD by licensed caregivers to qualified patients. It seems as though things are very complicated, Hillary.
Things are definitely very complicated. I disagree that the Farm Bill did not change anything. It did give much more clear authority to the FDA to regulate hemp products that are going to be consumed. And the difference between this Farm Bill and the prior one is in that time period, the FDA approved the use of CBD in Epidiolex, which is a scheduled pharmaceutical drug, as a result of allowing the use of a cannabis product of CBD from cannabis in that pharmaceutical. It led to the FDA opinion then that adding it to any other product would be adulterating that product with a pharmaceutical drug effectively. And right now, a lot of this isn't really specified in state law on how they regulate hemp products after the hemp is harvested. So I think we're really going to be seeing a lot of laws and regulations over the next couple years trying to catch up with this.
Great. On the line with us right now, Congresswoman Shelley Pingree. Congresswoman Pingree, I'm so happy you were able to call in. I know it was going to be tight.
Yeah, well, I'm glad to just talk for a quick minute and I won't interrupt. I'm sorry I haven't been able to listen to everything, but I'm going to go back and listen because there's a lot to be learned about CBD. But most importantly, we're just really concerned about the confusion that's going on in Maine and states across the country. Hemp was recently taken off scheduled drugs in the Farm Bill. And so we're opening up a whole new world, but we don't want to see arbitrary regulations, regulations that don't make sense. So we've just sent a letter to the FDA, and we're going to have a hearing, I think, in about 2 weeks with Commissioner Gottlieb, and we're going to be questioning him about this because we want to make sure it's available for people. There are some parts of hemp, like hemp protein, that are come under a category of generally recognized as safe. And, you know, that may be what's appropriate to do here, but we just want to make sure it's clear to people.
Well, thank you, Representative Pingree, for calling in. Hillary?
I think that's great. And it sounds like in Vermont, they've sent a similar letter to the FDA to get some clarification on this. So I think it's becoming very clear from states which have a hemp industry and have people benefiting from this that we need clarity so people can actually access something that's safe.
Yeah, we work really closely with my colleague Peter Welsh in Vermont, and this is my my subcommittee has oversight of the FDA, so you can imagine we have a long list of questions to ask them anytime the commissioner's in front of the committee. But this has really been bubbling up, and since there are a lot of people, you know, producing it, selling it, wanting to acquire it in Maine, and there was already, you know, a lot going on, we hate to see that blocked without sufficient information.
And you said you expect that hearing to be in about 2 weeks' time.
Yep, I think it'll be the week after this.
All right. Well, that's Congresswoman Shelley Pingree, who represents Maine's 1st Congressional District. Thanks so much for calling in. We have an email from Lori. My husband and I handle a large number of animals in the rescue we run. Since we began using CBD for these animals, we've been able to offer them a much better quality of life. We are witnessing the firsthand the improvements in the care we can provide. Stressed, scared, even feral cats become calmer, easier to handle and care for. Their appetites improve, their pain is lessened or removed, they're more outgoing, friendlier, and happier animals. Animal rescuers statewide are utilizing CBD as an important nursing tool. So Lori is really enthusiastic about this. Pat, I'm wondering, though, that a pet owner ought not to run out and buy CBD. What guidance would you give a pet owner who's curious if CBD might be helpful for their pet?
What we do is you do 2 milligrams per kilogram of body weight, and then you have a safe dose. You get a total number, and you divide that in 3 doses, and I'm sure you'll have no problems with that at all.
All right. And are there veterinarians that can give guidance to pet owners?
That I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know.
Okay. We'll move to Shannon. Go ahead, Hillary.
That Epidiolex, what I've read that it's here are pharmaceuticals added CBD to an anticonvulsant for children. The results that I have seen, at least what I've read, was 40% effective with some bad side effects. I'd just like to say so far, cannabis has been 98% effective with no side effects. So you got to look at who's doing the studies and why.
We'll go to Shannon in Winslow. Hi, Shannon. Go ahead.
Hi there. I feel bad that I have to follow up Shelley Pingree. I feel like. I'm wondering if you guys, and I'm coming in a little late, so I apologize if I'm repeating a question or you've already spoken about this. I'm really curious to know what you guys think about the stigma around why there are certain drugs. And I know you've spoken about this earlier, why there are certain medications that are pushed that do cause illness, death. And, you know, you see those commercials online and it has the long 12-page scroll of all the things that could happen to you if you take this. What is the stigma and what has it been like trying to break the stigma around something that seems as simple as CBD or anything hemp-based, and why it's something that, like, for example, I teach in a high school, and if a student has to take a CBD drop or takes it in a tincture, it has to be brought to them from somebody in a special vehicle. The person has to administer it to them, and then they have to do it at a certain spot, and then they have to leave. And yet there are certain medications that kids have for other things that cause serious side effects that they can just, you know, have at the nurse's station. So it's interesting to me. I'm curious to know what you guys think, having far more information than myself, about the stigma and how that's being broken, and what does it look for the future in these things that seem so clearly not easier, but a more simple, healthier pathway towards health. And
sure. I get what you're saying, Shannon, and Hillary wants to jump in here. I mean, this is a real issue that for some reason in our culture, some drugs are considered socially acceptable and some aren't.
Yep. And especially anything tied to cannabis, which has been illegal and marketed against since at least for over 100 years at this point. I do think a lot of progress has been made in Maine and places where people who aren't the stereotypical cannabis users, where in Maine we have a lot of people who haven't used cannabis at all in their lives, but they're in their 80s, they're going to the VA, they're getting treatment, it's not working on its own, and they're finding that other people they know, it's working well, or doctors are recommending, maybe not officially, but they're saying, just try this thing, see if it helps for you. She mentioned the access in schools. That was actually a result of legislation. I worked with a group of families who have children who have seizure disorder, one of their children at the time was not able to attend school because in order for her to be able to have her seizure medication, which included cannabis in certain cases, she could not have that on school property. Her mother was not able to bring it to school property. In 2014, they got the first of its kind legislation in the country passed in the state that does allow a parent to bring, if their child has a doctor's recommendation for medical use of cannabis, they can bring a non-smokable form and administer it to their child at school. It's still not as easy access as other things, but I think things like that are a step in the direction to removing the stigma. And I think just as people are finding out that this works and more medical practitioners are really studying this and looking at it too, and it's not just a commercial item, but really being studied as a medicinal herb.
Shannon, right. Thank you so much for your call. We're going to go to Len in Old Orchard Beach. Hi, Len. Go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
I could. Go ahead. It looks like we've lost Len. We will go to an email from Mary. I have noticed that many CBD topical ointments, lotions, and creams contain, in addition to CBD, herbs and other substances such as arnica that are known to reduce local pain and inflammation. Seeing these additives, I am skeptical of the effectiveness of CBD alone for these conditions and unconvinced that I should purchase CBD products. Can you speak to this or offer any CBD products that do not contain anti-inflammatory agents?
Well, yes, I would recommend the cannabis salve. It's the whole plant. It has the CBD in it. You don't get high. Cannabis salve works better than Biofreeze or Bengay. It's good for your skin. They're curing skin cancer with it. And it's good for rashes, psoriasis, eczema. And I have a lot of Vietnam veterans exposed to Agent Orange. They say it's the only thing that helps them.
All right. An email from Jennifer. All hemp seed itself is already an FDA-approved food you can buy at the store. How can hemp oil be considered so differently?
So the CBD is not contained equally in all of the hemp plant, and it's hemp flower that people are primarily growing and extracting CBD from. They're producing flowers that have a high amount of resin and concentrating the CBD from that. Hemp seed is little to no CBD, and that and other non-CBD containing parts of the hemp plant are approved for use and sale across state lines, use in food products.
We'll try to squeeze in one last question. This is from Jim. He wants to know about CBDG, CBDA, and others.
Okay. CBDA is just cannabidiol, the acid form, and as soon as you heat the plant, it turns it more neutral, making it easier to absorb. However, now we know that CBDA and THCA have the same kind of qualities and in some cases are more effective than the plain THC or CBD.
Anything to add, Hillary?
Just that there's over 100 cannabinoids in the cannabis plant, so there's anti-inflammatory properties, there's anti-anxiety properties to all of these various cannabinoids, and some of them will develop over use of aging from the plant, other from heating. So it's a plant that really needs a lot more study, but there's a lot of medicinal benefits in the whole plant.
All right. Well, that's our last word. We've all learned a lot today. That was Hillary Lister. She's a medical marijuana consultant and advocate. Also here with me, Pat Philbrick, certified nurse practitioner with Celtic Trinity Healthcare. Nikki Shields ran the board today. Main Calling is produced by Jonathan Smith and Cindy Hahn. You can always find more information at maincalling.org as well as previous broadcasts. I'm Jennifer Rooks. You've been listening to Maine Calling on Maine Public Radio.